Today's reading begins in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the workings of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being knit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Okay, where we started off in chapter 1, verse 15, he makes this statement for this reason. This points back to the beginning of the chapter, where he's been praising God for his blessings. And now he expresses his thankfulness for those that believe. He spends a good amount of time here in the letter to the Ephesians, focusing on God's redemptive work for mankind. It is unfortunate that some of this gets taken out of context and misused by so many people, considering that Paul is communicating the depth of God's love and the richness of all of these blessings that are in Christ and our salvation. And Christ really is the focus of what he is communicating. We need to be in Christ, we need to be under the authority of Christ, and we need to honor Christ in his proper position as not only our Lord and Savior, but our King and the cornerstone of our faith. And we absolutely need Christ because, as they were before they obeyed the gospel, such as us, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. But God, being rich in mercy, having this great love, made us alive together with Christ. He gave us something we could never do for ourselves. Thus, it is truly a gift. This gift did not come because of our own works, but because of faith in Jesus. However, we are created for good works, verse 10. That means that in faith we come to believe in Jesus. We take advantage of the salvation that comes through him. We are obedient to those things that he requires in order to enter into that covenant with him. We commit ourselves to him, and we continue to serve him in all things that we do. We have been created for good works, that we should walk in them. Verse 11, he drives home the point that Gentile and Jew alike have been made to come together in the body of Christ and be unified, be one. And we are to all grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In chapter 3, he starts using this word mystery. This mystery was made known to him by the revelation, and he has written briefly about it. And when you read, you can perceive his insight into that mystery. That mystery had not previously been made known, but as he states in verse 6, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. This was made known to him again by revelation. And so he was made a minister of the gospel according to the gift of God's grace. Remember, Paul used to be Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the church. And so certainly he would stand out as one who did not earn the right to become Christian, but that he did become Christian in faith after being confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus. And it is that faith that prompted him to pray and fast for several days before he was baptized for the remission of sins, and that motivated him all the way up and through this letter that he would serve God to the best of his ability, enduring many, many hardships in that faithful service. And so in verse 13 he says, "Do not lose heart over the things that I am suffering, which is your glory." That concludes our reading for today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.